Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur from the top of Daf Nun Gimel, the Mishnah that had appeared on the bottom of Nun Beis Omid Beis mentioned Chamor Yotze B'Mardas B'Zman Shehi Kshura Bo, that a chamor, a donkey, can walk out into a public domain with a mardas, a type of blanket or warming device that's on the back of the animal, provided it's tied on its back from Erev Shabbos, from Friday. The topic heading that we have assigned to this section of Gemara in the outside margin, you can see we've written no say, and we've indicated that this goes ad omid beis. We have a rather long discussion ahead of us, and we've written mardas, we'll call it a blanket, even though there might be other translations to that, and we've already offered our disclaimer with regard to the topics that we'll see in this perek and actually the next perek as well regarding many items that require a translation. And oftentimes our feeling here in Gemara Markings is that if you have words that aren't part of a long-standing tradition, it presents a certain difficulty in offering a translation to them, and many times you have controversies regarding the actual translation of words. And we mentioned that we're interested in striving to achieve a principle rather than the specific translation of many of these words. Our apologies. Nevertheless, we have a mardas and an ukaf. An ukaf is understood to be something like a saddle. We will mention nesinosam, that's the placing of these on the backs of an animal, b'chotzer, in a private domain, and the issue of it walking around with it in a private domain will come up in our Gemara. Netilosam, the removal of these things, and we'll have two considerations. Tsar, to prevent the animal from experiencing discomfort, and tanug, to create a sense of pleasure. Now the Gemara, Omar Shmuel. The Shmuel explains v'hu shekshura lo me'erev Shabbos. The statement in the Mishnah that chamor yotze b'mardas bizman sheikshura bo, it means that it can go out with the mardas provided it has been tied from Friday. In other words, it's not sufficient that one would put it on the back of the animal and tie it on Shabbos. The Gemara will also prove this by Omar Rav Nachman, Masnisa Nami Daiga. The Mishnah, through careful reading, will bear this pshat out, will bear this explanation. Dikotoni, the Mishnah later on Daf Nun Dalon Beis, it says, Ein hachamor yoytze b'mardas bizman she'eno kshura lo. There you have the negative, that a chamor cannot go out on Shabbos with the mardas when it's not tied to it. Well, hey chidomi, what are the circumstances of that Mishnah? If you are to explain that it's not tied at all, pshita, it's obvious that it can't go out with it on Shabbos. It may fall off the animal's back, and then you'll end up carrying it for Amos in the Rishus HaRabim. And that's a Shabbos prohibition. El Olav, She'en Okshura Me'erev Shabbos. So the understanding of the Mishnah later on, Nun Dalma Beis, that says the Chamor cannot go out with Mardas when it's not tied, it means when it's not tied from Friday. Michlal de Reisha, so we can infer then that our Mishnah that we learned just at the end of the previous Omid, where it says that Chamor is Yoitzis, it's Bizman Shekshurlo, that's Shekshurlo Me'erev Shabbos, that it's been tied from Erev Shabbos. That if it's been tied, if the mardas is tied to the animal's back from Friday, so it can go out with it on Shabbos.
Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Tanaic source that supports this. Chamor yoytze b'mardas bizman, and notice how we dashed underline shekshur lo me'erev Shabbos. A chamor can go out with the mardas on its back, provided it's been tied on from Friday. V'lo b'ukof, but it cannot go out with a saddle, afal pi shekshur lo me'erev Shabbos, even if it has been tied to it from Erev Shabbos. Rav Shum Gamliel lo yimer, af b'ukof bizman shekshur lo me'erev Shabbos. The donkey, according to Shmuel Gamliel, is allowed to go out with the saddle if it's been tied from Erev Shabbos. And the reason for that is that the saddle, as well as the mardas, serves to increase or provide added heat, warmth, to the animal. And as such, we make an allowance. The heter that we just mentioned of having the animal walk out with the saddle is provided that it was masrichon is not tied, and Rashi explains on the second line from the top, ubavashlo yikshelo masrichon, and he gives you a French word for that. The merci kamisha roitzi latino masui. The masrichon is a type of additional strap that is used for attaching packages to the back of the animal. So on Shabbos, obviously, the animal is not to be in service of the owner. The pasuk says, and we've quoted this in previous stapim, that the animals must be at rest, so to speak, in non-activity on Shabbos, just like its owner is to be in that state. So that the masrichon rope or strap shall not be attached. And also, b'vach liyiv shlo b'tsua tachas novo, so Rashi explains, gives you a French word for that as well, and he says, shenoisnim shom shelo teire de ukov, v'hamasui al tzavoro. It's another strap that prevents the saddle and the package, when it is carrying a package, from sliding onto its neck. Kshiredes la'emek, when it is in a when the animal is walking on a descent. V'hamasrech shelo tered al znovo, the masrech, the strap that we mentioned just before, is so that it doesn't slip backwards onto its tail. Kshioila al hehorem. So the Rashi explains the role of these two kinds of straps, and obviously, since it's Shabbos, though we'll allow it, according to Shmuel Gamliel, to go with a saddle on its back, provided, however, that it doesn't have these other package-related straps attached to it. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's glance at the Tosfos at the top. The Hu Shekshur Lo Me'erev Shabbos, this was Shmuel's comment regarding the Mardas, that we want it to be attached from Friday. Rashi Purush L'Kamon, Rashi later explains, Tosfos says here at the top, the Bekshur Lo Me'erev Shabbos having Malbush HaChamor, when the Mardas is tied from it on it from Erev Shabbos, so it appears as the as a type of clothing of the animal. Avobeino kshura, if it's not tied to the animal, mayor of Shabbos from Friday, havi masui, then it's not something worn by the animal, but rather something carried by the animal. V'od yesh lefarsh debeino kshura mayor of Shabbos. Another explanation is that if it's not tied from Friday, merci kemiskavim lo itzos amardas. One can get the impression that by slinging the mardas over the animal's back, and it not being tied from Shabbos, it looks like the owner's intent is for carrying the mardas out into the Rishus HaRabim, and that obviously is forbidden. For Rabbeinu Port, Piresh, Demechsi, Kilu, Miskavi, Lucha, Behemol, Amokom, Rochik. Without it being tied from every Shabbos, attaching it, tying it on Shabbos, gives the impression that you're attempting to take the animal for a long journey. That would sound like a problem of creating an impression that you want to go beyond the tchum, the allowed 2,000 amo or 1 kilometer radius around a city. We turn back to the Gemara. Bomine Rav Asi bar Noson, Rav Chiyo bar Ashi. Mahu litein mardas agabi chamor b'shabbos. Now, this is what we mentioned before in our introductory note. Can you put a mardas on the back of the animal? And here the issue is placing it on the back of the animal in a chotzer, and not with the intention of it going to the Rishus HaRabim, but simply putting it on its back in a chotzer to add warmth, to create a feeling of warmth for the animal. Amar Lei Mutar, so Rav Chiya answers, it's okay. Amar Lei, so Rav Asi asks, V'chima bein ze l'ukaf, what's the difference between this and putting a saddle on the animal's back, which apparently is forbidden? We saw in the source above that one is not allowed to put we saw the Tanakhama saying that a person can't put a saddle on the animal's back, even if it's tied from Erev Shabbos. Maybe based on that, it's assumed that it certainly would be usur to put it on the animal's back on Shabbos. So he's asking, Rav Asi is asking, you're allowing the mardas, but you're not allowing the saddle. Well, why is that? Ishtik. So, Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi remained silent. Now we have to look at this word and what's the impression then that Rav Ashi got from the silence. So Rashi says, and you'll notice we have a little star to help you find the point in the Rashi. Kosavur hodi ishtik mishum delo ashkech bei. Rabbi Ashi got the feeling that Rav Chiya's silence was because he didn't want to relate or pay attention. The Sovar Ukaf Nami Shori, that the Ukaf is also okay. And therefore, when Rav Asi asks, what's the difference between the Mardas, which you're allowing, and the Ukaf, which you're not, he just kept quiet because, in fact, he doesn't make any distinction. So now, working with this assumption that, in other words, with Rav Asi's perception that Rav Chiya allows both, Esvei. So now we have a Tanaic source. Ukaf shal gabi chamor lo yataltaleno biyodoi. A saddle on an animal's back, on a donkey's back, you cannot move it. You can't handle it. Elo molicho mavio b'chotzer v'hu no fail me'elov. And by the way, we should be a little more accurate in our explanation. Namely, when Rav Asi asked, what's the difference between the mardas, which you allow, and the ukaf you don't allow, you can see from this source that the ukaf, you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos, so obviously you can't put it on the animal's back. If you're interested in getting the ukaf off the animal's back, maybe you have a saddle that was on a chamor's back and you want to get it off, so you can't remove it, but molichum avia b'chotz, you can have the animal walk back and forth in the chotz, and it will fall off by itself. Well, hashto litol amris lo. Here, to take it off, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to move it. Laniach mibaya, to put it on the animal's back, certainly you would not be allowed. So Rav Asi is pointing out to Rav Chiya, based on Rav Asi's assuming that Rav Chiya's silence indicated that Rav Chiya allows the placing of the ukaf on the back of the chamor, that's simply wrong. It's not allowed. You have a Tanaic source saying you're not allowed. Omale Rabbi Zero says to Rav Asi, who was he's in the middle of this question mode, Shavke, leave him be. In other words, leave Rav Chiya bar Rav Asi alone. Kerabe Svirole, Rav Chiya holds like his master, like his teacher, Rav. Diom Rav Chiya bar Asi Amar Rav, and we'll see, have some geometric forms that we'll have to explain momentarily. He holds, like Rav, that says, Toilin traskel lebehemo b'shabbos v'kal v'chomer lemardas. You're allowed to hang a food basket around an animal's neck on Shabbos, and certainly you're allowed to put a mardas on the animal. Uma hosom, in the case of the traskel, the mishum tanuk shori, he allows something that simply offers additional comfort to the animal. Something that's tanuk means something additional pleasure. We'll say it's a non-essential, but it is pleasurable to the animal to have the food basket around its neck. So Rav allows providing ta'anug to the animal. Here, with regard to the mardas, it's all the more so allowed. So the fact that Rav Chiyo bar Rav Ashi was allowing the mardas shouldn't come as any surprise to Rav Asi. And when Rav Asi asks what's the difference between this and the Ukaf, Rav Asi was trying to get Rav Chiyo bar Rav Ashi to be machmir with regard to the mardas, just like we are machmir with regard to the Ukaf. And the Rav Zeira is pointing out to Rav Asi, there's no reason, there's no need to ask on Rav Chiyo bar Rav Ashi, because as far as his heter for the mardas, that is based on Rav's teaching, which indicates that something that provides an animal with warmth, which is a prevention of tsar, it's a more significant consideration, that certainly is allowed. Once again, if he allows something that simply provides additional pleasure to the animal, like the traskel, certainly he will allow something that prevents pain and suffering from the animal, as would be the case of the frigid cold. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's just glance at the side where we have a description of the diamonds that we have just encountered. On the side, we've written under our nosei, we've indicated hemshech. This is a continuation of the discussion. And we have diamonds around Rav and Shmuel. And we've indicated that this represents a machloikes im muter loseis b'chotzer al be mashu mishum tanug. Can you put on an animal something that will provide it with pleasure? And we've noted here the names and the shittas. Rav holds that something that's tsar related, that prevents pain or suffering, that's allowed. And he even goes so far as to saying that something that affords the animal with additional pleasure, tanug, is allowed. Shmuel, on the other hand, says that with regard to tsar, I agree. If it's something to prevent pain from the animal, so that, we say, is allowed. However, tanug is usur. And with our markings here, you can see we've dashed, underlined the point of controversy. So, let's continue in the Gemara. Shmuel, Omar, Mardas, Mutter, Traskel, usur. As we just saw, he allows the Mardas, and he agrees with Rav on that. That's something that provides warmth to the animal. That's okay, because that prevents the animal from suffering. However, the traskel, which is a food basket that is for tanug purposes, what's the tanug? Well, otherwise, the animal, without the food basket around its neck, it would have to stretch its neck out to reach the ground, and that is a little bit extra effort on the animal's part to get to its food with the food basket hung around its neck and its mouth in the basket, so it has the food at readily available without the animal having to strain for it. So that's an element of tanug, of additional pleasure that we provide the animal. But without the food basket, it still would be able to get to its food. It wouldn't be famished. So there's no issue of tsar, of pain to the animal. Continuing in the Gemara, Ozal Reb Chiyo bar Yosef, Omro l'shmaitze, de Rav kamei de Shmuel. Reb Chiyo, who quoted Rav as saying that you're allowed to provide tanug, you're allowed to hang the traskel around the animal's neck, and he said that to Shmuel, Omar Lei. So Shmuel responded, "I ochi Omar Abo." If thusly said, "Abo Abo," is a reference to Rav, then lo yoda b'mili de Shabbato v'lo klum. Then he doesn't understand anything about Shabbos. So you can see that Shmuel was very upset with the opinion that Rav had assumed, and said what he said. Kisolik Rabbi Zera, Ashkeli Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefis, the Yosef v'Ka'omar Lei v'Shmei the Rabbi Yochanan. When Rabbi Zera ascended to Eretz Yisrael, he left Bovel to come to Eretz Yisrael. He found Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefis, who was seated and sang in the name of Rabbi Yochanan the following: Noisin Mardas Al Gabi Chamor B'Shabbes. You are allowed to put a Mardas. We explained before something like a a blanket or whatever is a unit that will provide warmth for the animal, you can put that on the animal, on the animal's back on Shabbos. And as we said before, this is an issue of not going out with it to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, but the animal that's walking around in the chotzer in an enclosed area, even though you hadn't put it on the animal's back from Friday, it's okay to put it on the animal's back on Shabbos, but without the intent, of course, of the animal going out to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Amar Leh, so Rabbi Zeir, upon hearing this, he said, Yasher, that's great. All power to you. V'chein tirgimo aryoch b'bavel. And thusly, aryoch explained in Bavel, as Rabbi Zeir just came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So he reported that in that aryoch said thusly in Bavel. Aryoch manu, who's aryoch? Shmuel, it's a, we'll call it a nickname for Shmuel. And there are different explanations, many different explanations as to what aryoch represents, but it's a title of distinction for our purposes with regard to Shmuel. And thusly says Shmuel. The Gemara asks, "V'hal Rav Nami Omra?" But with regard to the Mardas, didn't Rav also allow Ela? Rather, Shamei Dahavi Mesayim Bei V'Ein Toilin Traskel B'Shabbos. Rabbi Zeira heard Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes continuing in his quote of in that which he was teaching over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that you are not allowed to hang a food basket from the animal's neck. Now, who says that? Well, we have heard Shmuel to hold thusly. Omalei Yosher. Okay, that which he said is fine and all power to you. V'chein tugim aryoch b'bovel. Thusly, aryoch, which we already explained to Shmuel, holds that position in Bovel. So let's go over the point. Rabbi Zeira, who just came from Bovel, heard Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes saying that you're allowed to put a mardas. He said he heard Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, you're allowed to put a mardas on the animal's back on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to hang a food basket from its neck. Upon hearing that, Rabbi Zeira says, "Oh, that's a fine teaching, and you should know that." Thusly says Shmuel, who lived in Bovel. The Kule Almo Mihas Mardas Mutter. Everyone agrees, though, that the Mardas is okay. So, my Shnomi Ukaf, what's the difference between putting the Mardas on from the Ukaf that you're not allowed to move, that you're certainly not allowed to put it on the animal's back? The more answers, Shiny Hossam, the case of the Ukaf is different to Efshir the Nofil Meme Law. Before going on, let's just refine the question that we explained. The Gemara had asked, "My shno meukaf." What's the difference between putting a mardas on the animal's back and the isur, the prohibition of removing the saddle from the animal's back? In other words, we're allowing you to directly, manually place a mardas on the back of the chamor. And we're saying you cannot manually remove the ukaf from the animal's back. That we saw in the Tanaic source above. So the Gemara answers, number one, Shiny Hossam, the case of the ukaf is different to Efshir the Nofil Memela, and we have a little arrow which points to the source where ukaf was mentioned. And it's said in that source that if you're moylicho mevio b'chotzer v'nofil me'elov. It can be removed without your actually taking it off the animal's back. So you see where the arrow points to the line that you see in the source. It says Elo Malicho Mavio Bechotzer Vumnofa Me'elov. Number two, Rav Popo Amar Kan L'Chamamo Kan L'Tzaneno. Rav Popo gives a different explanation as to why the mardas you're allowed to put on the animal's back, whereas the ukaf you're not allowed to physically remove it yourself. Kan L'Chamamo, in the case of the mardas, you're allowed because that adds warmth to the animal. Kan litzanino, the removal of the ukaf, will cool the animal off. L'chamamo is lo tzara. In order to, adding of warmth to the animal is to remove its discomfort, its tzar, its pain. That is something we allow. How, and we saw this already in the name of Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. L'tzanino less le tzara. However, the issue of its cooling off is not a tsar issue. It's, in other words, if the animal is in a state of or experiencing heat, that does not create tsar for a donkey. V'hainu d'amri inshi, it is based on that people have a common saying, chamra afilu b'tkufas tamuz kariro lo. The donkey, even in the middle of the summer, tkufas tamuz, middle of the summer, it feels chilled, it's cold, so that the providing of coolness for a donkey is really never something that is a tsar consideration, because it always enjoys warmth. Before going on in the Gemara, we have some geometric forms to take note of, and we have on the side under our Mivneh heading an inverted triangle, and we've indicated po maksha gemara. From here the gemara will ask the royim shemekilim lahatir afilu tanug. We're going to present a Tanaic source that will be a kasha on the opinion of Shmuel, where we see we allow that which provides pleasure to the animal, not just prevention of pain, but you're allowed to go even further leniency and provide pleasure for the animal. On Omid Beis, you'll see a triangle with its point facing upwards. Hagemara mevia mekoros sheish leesor afilu b'mokom tzar. The Gemara will provide on Omid Beis sources in the other extreme, in the extreme other direction, where even if it's a matter of preventing pain from the animal, you're not allowed to take action. So now the Gemara. Notice, of course, this is a long question. We have a Kufis encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicating the length of this question. Meisve, lo yetze hasus bezon of shuol, a horse shall not go out on Shabbos with a foxtail, velo bezaharuris shebein enov, nor with a zaharuris. It's a type of strap that's dyed a certain color, and it's something that would be decorative, but nevertheless, the horse is not to go out with this on Shabbos. The Rashi explains that the foxtail hung between the eyes of a horse, shelo yishlod bo ayin, so that the horse should not be victimized by the ayin hora, the evil eye. The zaruris is something that would be decorative. Lo yetze hazov bekishelo, a zav is a male that experienced a certain type of emission, and that emission will make the person tome. There are situations where a person might want to put a certain pouch around his male organ, which enables him to keep track of the number of emissions that he experienced. We're not going to get into those details right now. Those are halachas concerning tumah, but it's for our purposes here. Rashi points out she'eno tachshit lo. This doesn't constitute a type of decorative appurtenance for the man. Obviously, it's something under his garments. No one would see it, and therefore, he's not allowed to wear it out on Shabbos. V'lo izin b'kis shebedodehen, nor goats with little pouches on their udders. V'lo pora b'chasom shebefia, nor can a cow go out into the Rishus Rabbim with a muzzle on its mouth. The chasom, the muzzle, was when ordinarily worn out on weekdays, prevented the animal from grazing in and eating from other people's fields. The source continues: v'lo siochim betraskelin shevifim l'rishus rabim. Nor can young sioch is a young donkey. Cannot go out with the food basket around its neck to the public thoroughfare. v'lo behemo b'sandal shebaragleo, nor can an animal go out with its shoes. We're familiar with the idea of a horseshoe. So animals had shoes that were made of metal, and they protected the animal's feet from getting hurt on stones. V'lo, and it also cannot go out b'kamiya afalpi she'u mumche. A kamiya is an amulet, which was a piece of parchment with writing on it, with the ability to prevent or to heal from sicknesses. So the animal cannot go out with the kamiya, even though it is a mumche. Mumche means it's a kamiya that has proven itself to be effective three times. V'zu chomer b'vehemo v'ba'odom. And this is a stringency that applies to animals more so than by man. Avol yotzehu, an animal can go out be'eged she'al gabi hamako, with a bandage that's on a bruise. Here there's no fear that if it were to fall off, the owner would go and carry it in the Rishus Rabbim. And likewise, u'b'kshishin she'al gabi hashever. Kshishin we might translate as a splint that's applied to an animal who experienced a broken leg. Splint will keep its bones in position till they grow back. Ubishilio ha midudeles ba, an animal that happened to have a placenta exiting from its body, and it's hanging out from its body. Partial release or partial exit of this placenta. It can walk out with it dangling from it. Upokikin lo zug bitsavoro umatelis imo bechotzer. And likewise, you can, if you stuff a bell that's around the animal's neck, it can walk around in an enclosed area with this around its neck. An unstuffed bell is not allowed because it clangs and it makes noise, and that's something that we avoid on Shabbos. This source had quite a bit of detail in it. Here the Gemara quotes what we dashed underlined already above, and says, "V'lo siyachim b'traskim shibfim l'shus harabim." The siyachim, these young donkeys, are not allowed to go out into the public thoroughfare with baskets, food baskets around their necks. And now we infer l'shus harabim d'lo. We're not allowed to put this on the animal in order for it to go out to a public thoroughfare. Habachotzer shabir dummy, but to wear it in an enclosed area, this food basket around its neck, that's allowed. My lav bigadolim umishum tanuk. Is it not so that this source is talking about adult animals, and you're allowed to put this food basket around the animal's neck in a chotzer to provide it with pleasure? And that's against Shmuel. Shmuel said that if doing things to add pleasure for the animal is something that we do not allow, even though it's in a chotzer, nevertheless we don't allow you to trouble yourself to provide tanug. Here we're inferring that since the source is talking about adult animals, the food basket is simply a matter of tanug, and you're allowed. Someone says, "Lo, b'ktanim u'mishum tzar." This source is talking about young animals, and in fact, the word siyach would seem to indicate that, based on a Gemara in Bava Basra, where the word siyach appears also, and it's talking about young animals, and therefore, it's an issue of not tanug, but an issue of tsar, of pain. In other words, without the food basket, since it's a young animal, its neck is not very long yet, and in order for it to bend down to get food, it's is a matter of difficulty. And hence, the food basket is there to prevent the pain and strain on the part of the animal, and not just to afford it with a sense of simple ease, without which it could have easily gotten to its food anyway. Not so with the case of the young animals. Daiko nami dekotoni. And by careful reading of this source, we can discover this, because it says dumio dekemea. This source is talking about an issue of tsar, and it teaches the case of the food basket in the context of the amulet. And the amulet is certainly not a tanu consideration, it's a tsar consideration. And therefore, we realize that the source is not focusing on issues of pleasure provision, but rather on pain prevention. And we have turned or scrolled ahead to Amud Beis at the top. As you can see, we have a bracketed section, and if you notice the bracket length indicator, the vertical dashed dotted line that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you can see the length of the bracketed section, and the note on the side will also help explain why we've bracketed this. The star note says, Achre Sagrayim, after the brackets, Agamora Chazeres Lodun Binyan Imutur Losis Abahemo Mashim Mishun Tsar Kedei Lamono. Gemara will be evaluating, is it mutter to put something on the animal to prevent it from pain? Besocha Sagrayim, within the brackets, Hagmora Dona Beprotem Akshum Kamea. The Gemara will focus its attention upon the issue of the amulet. So that having been said, we see after the bracketed section, triangles with their point facing up, and we already explained on Alf with the point facing up, we will be challenging the stance that both Rav and Shmuel took, that things that are Mishum Tsar are allowed, and here we're going to challenge that. Now that the structure is hopefully clear in your minds, we glance at the bracketed section, and before that we notice our topic heading that appears on the other margin, the no say, and we wrote Bisograyim in the brackets, Yitzias Behemogmiya, the walking out of an animal with an amulet. The Gemara. Omar Mar, we quoted, this is a quote from the source, Velo Bekmea Papishu Mumche. The animal cannot walk out with a Kamea, even though it's been demonstrated or shown to be expert. Gemara asks, the restriction is going out with a kamea that's not expert. But we can infer that if it were mumche, if it were expert, then it's okay. The Gemara explains, hochi nami sheino mumche, that which we saw to be restricted is in fact if it's not expert. Gemara says, well, how can you give that answer? But the source said that it cannot go out with kamea even if it happens to, yes, be expert, been proven with a track record. The Gemara answers, mumche la'adam v'eino mumche la'behema. When the source said afa pishu mumche, it meant that it's been shown to be provenly effective with regard to healing men, but not with regard to benefiting animals. The Gemara asks, "Umi ko mumche l'adam v'lo avi mumche l'beimo?" Is there such a thing that's proven effective for man and not for animals? The Gemara says, "In yes, that is a legitimate phenomenon." Adam de Islay Maslam Isayle, a person, a human being that has a mazal, that's a word that's a bit hard to translate, but it's a type of we'll call it heavenly force that the Almighty created that helps govern things through the will of Hashem and through his design, the way he designed the universe. It's called a mazal. Not to be translated, let's say, as luck or something as transient as that, but rather, we'll just leave the word as it is. A person that has this has mazel, misayale, so the amulet, the kamea, will help him. Beima de lesle mazla, animals don't have this heavenly force that helps govern, or that's designed to govern them or have effect on them. So since they lack the mazel, lo misayeya law, so the amulet might be in fact ineffective. In other words, the text or the nature of an amulet that's fit for man won't necessarily help an animal. Ihachi. if you're saying that a behemoth can go out to Rishus Rabbim only with a kameya that's mumche, then my zechomer bebehemoth mi ba'odam. What is the, why did the source teach that this is a stringency in animals over men? By man also, he's not allowed to go out to the Rishus Rabbim unless it's a kameya mumche. So the Gemara answers, Mi savris hakameya koi, who says that this phrase of zechomer bevema biodom, that there's a stringency in animals over man, is a reference to the amulet? Not so. Asandal koi, it's going on the shoe. Namely, that an animal, with regard to its shoe, it's not allowed to go out with its shoe on Shabbos to the Rishus Rabbim. A person is allowed to wear his shoes out into the public thoroughfare. So that's the issue of something being a stringency with regard to animal over man is not kameya related, even though, let's not fool ourselves, by the simple reading of the source, the expression of Zeh Chomer Be'odem Be'odem that we saw toward the lower part of Omen Aleph was coming on the heels, forgive the pun there, it's coming on the heels of the kameya. And the Gemara here is telling us that that phrase of Zu Chomer Bo'Behem Bo'Adam is not going on that which was stated just before it, but is on the item, one item before, namely the animal with its shoes. We continue in the Gemara, Toshma, and we mentioned earlier that these triangles represent challenges to the assumption or to the opinion that Mishum Tzar is allowed. So it says in this source, Sochen u'mefarchesin l'odam v'ein sochen u'mefarchesin l'behema. Sochen is to smear oil on, and here one is allowed to smear oil on a person on Shabbos, something that's liquidy, of course, very liquidy oil. And mefarchesin has to do with scratching, let's say, an itch or a bruise. That would be allowed with regard to a person, but ein sochen mefachasin lebema. One's not allowed to do these things with regard to an animal. My love, is it not speaking the ikom maku mishum tzar that there is an actual bruise there, and this would be a tzar consideration. In other words, to relieve the animal from tzar, to relieve it from pain, one might do sochen and mefachasin, and yet it says you're not allowed to do it. Now that would be a kasha on Rav and Shmuel, because they both said that something that's a tsar, that's a pain-related consideration, you're allowed to provide relief to the animal. So the one says, lo, degomar maku mishum tanug. The situation in the source that we just read, ein sof parson lebeimo, is where the bruise is at the end of its healing. It's Rashi says, shenisrap amaka, the bruise has healed, v'sichu b'ruchus mishum tanug, and the oil application and the pirchus, the scratching of the animal was simply to provide it with pleasure. Ta shma behemo. Now, of course, the triangle indicates another attempt or another challenge to the position taken that things that would be tsar related are allowed. Here we see behemo shochsadam, a behemo that ochsadam is an expression meaning that it took for our purposes. Rashi gives a French word for this, but it's something that's become ill, and in such a situation, so the animal is experiencing suffering tsar. It says ein mamidim oisa b'mayim b'shvil shetitzdanein. One is not allowed to have the water, have the animal enter water in order for it to cool off. Odom shoch sodam amidim oiso b'mayim b'shvil shitstanein. A person that has become ill with this situation called och sodam, he is allowed to enter water to cool off. So we see here that even though it is an issue of relieving the animal from tsar, one is not allowed to do that for the animal. Omar Ula, Gzeira Mishum Shchikas Samemonim. Here we're dealing with tsar in a focused sense, tsar as a result of illness. And medicinal procedures. When we say medicinal procedures, it means things to relieve the animal from its tsar is something that's medicine related. Not that we're talking about actual medicine, because here we're just talking about the animal going into water, but it has this refuah element to it, refuah meaning healing element. And Ula mentions that with regard to healing matters, we have a general rule. One is not allowed to involve oneself with healing activities, because if we allow that, he'll come to grinding spices in the preparation of actual medicines. And grinding tchina is a prohibited activity. So we stay away from all healing related matters, even if it's not actual taking of medicine per se, but it's a medicinal procedure or healing procedure. We prohibit that in anticipation of preventing someone from coming to grinding down actual herbs and spices into medicines. If that's the case, so then why by an Odom Shelsudam do we say he's allowed to be placed in water? The Gemara says, Odom Nira Kemekar. When a person goes into water, it looks like he's going in to cool himself off and not to provide medicinal relief from some type of illness. If that be the case, well, why shouldn't the animal be able to enter the water and say, well, it simply creates an impression that the animal's cooling off? And there's no Shabbos prohibition in doing something to cool off. The Gemara says, Ein mekar lebeima. Animals don't seek out coolness, certainly not by entering pools of water. The Gemara asks, Ulebeimo migaz rinon. And when it comes to animals, do we impose the gzera that we mentioned of shchika samimonim, of prohibiting healing procedures because you may come to preparation of medicines? V'atanya, we have the following source: hoisa imedes chutz l'tchum korei la v'hi ba. Here, we should be a little more accurate in our presentation, and that is that not just on a medicinal level, but in any area of making a gzera, rabbinic prohibitions with regard to our dealing with animals, do we impose gezeros when it comes to animals? Here we have a case of an animal, an animal is standing outside one's Shabbos boundary. Now there is an assumption right now in raising the question that we're talking about outside the owner's boundary. A person has a limit of 2,000 amas that he is allowed to walk beyond the city limits, approximately a kilometer outside the settled area of the city limits. So here's a case where, and this is a havamina, we're raising this as a question, but we might change a little bit of the facts later on. Here's an animal standing outside the owner's tchum. What does it say? Korei la v'hi ba. He can summon the animal vocally, he can call the animal, and it comes to him, comes to the owner. V'lo gazrinon, we don't impose a gzera, don't call the animal, because you might go to take the animal physically from outside, and you'll be leaving your tchum. So we see from here that we don't impose a gezerah. We have a note that the Ritva has a girsa here without the Vav, and it's Omar Ravina. That Ravina responds that if you're asking why you're allowed to call it, don't derive from here that we don't make gezeros. Rather, because kigon shahoya tchum shelo muvlo b'soich tchum shelo. There is overlapping of tchumin. We have a little diagram where there's a double star on the side of the Gemara. The behema is standing at a point which is included in the boundaries of the owner. So it's true that the behema is at the edge of its own tchum. Therefore, the owner can't go and actually draw the animal in, because that's an actual violation. The animal also is limited by distances it is allowed to walk on Shabbos. So the owner can't actually draw the animal, because that would be
carrying, or that would be drawing the animal physically out beyond its allowed boundary. However, the owner can call the animal, because even if the owner goes to the animal, the owner himself is not violating his tchum. The owner is not going beyond his tchum. But so that's why kore lo v'hibo. However, if the owner would be at the actual edge of his tchum and the behemo beyond it, so then we might in fact impose a gzera. So you don't see from here some type of rule that with regard to animals we don't impose gzeros. The Gemara continues, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar, Shchika samimonim gufa tanoi hi. The issue, do we concern ourselves with the possibility of your coming to grinding or preparing medicines on Shabbos, to grinding herbs and spices? That itself is a machlokes tonoim. In other words, do we prohibit other healing procedures in anticipation of coming to Shrika Samimonim? That, Rav Nachman says, is a machlokes tanoim. Rashi points out, Tanoihi, the Ikar, there is a shita, there's an opinion, the lo gozar sha'arufuas otashkika samimonim, that is lenient and doesn't impose restrictions on other healing procedures simply in anticipation of one's coming to grinding spices, spices into medicines. So let's see the source. The Sanya, behemo she'ochlo karshinim, an animal that ate this type of food item, karshinim, and it ate a lot of karshinim. And because of its overeating of karshinim, Rashi explains that the animal became ill. And in this illness, it has to defecate a lot. It's a situation where it's become, we'll say, a diuretic. So the Tanakhama says, Lo yiritzena b'chotzer b'shil shetis rapeh. One should not have the animal run around in the courtyard in order to loosen its bowels. Rav Hoshaya matir. Rav Hoshaya says, you can do that. You can have it run around to have its bowels loosened, which will provide it with health relief. And you can see then that Rav Hoshaya is not machmir, he's lenient, and he doesn't prohibit other procedures simply because you might come to grinding medicines. Dorash Rava, halacha Rav Hoshaya. Rava took the position and he publicized that you shall follow Rav Hoshaya. Omar Mar, this is a quote from that which we saw earlier, Lo yotzeazov b'kis shelo v'lo izim b'kis shebedar dehen. The source tells us that the zav shall not go with his pouch around his male organ, nor goats with pouches around their udders. V'atanya, but do we not have a source that says yotzes izim b'kis shebedar dehen, that goats are allowed to walk out with pouches around their udders? Before going on, we're going to encounter some a new marking, a double underline, which is one of our series markings. So on the side, under our Nosei Mivneh, we have indicated this, and we've explained, Gimel Deos, we'll see three opinions, Liashev Stira Ben Shtei Brises Ben Yitzias Izen Bekisen Shibidodei, and we have to resolve these two Tanaic sources, one saying that the goats cannot go out with the pouches around their udders, and the other source saying it's allowed. So Omar, continuing the moral, the first double underline, Omar Rav Yehuda, Lo Kashya, Ha de Mahadik, Ha de Lo Mahadik. There's no contradiction between the two sources. The source that says it's allowed, that's if it's Mahadik, if it's tightly attached. So there's no fear of the little sacks or pouches falling off and you're coming to carry them in the public thoroughfare. Ha de Lo Mahadik, if they're not firmly attached, so then that's the source that says they shall not go out with the pouches around their udders. Number two, Rav Yosef Omar, Tanoi Shaklis Ne'alma. He says in response to Rav Yehuda, he says, are you removing Tanoim, a Machlokes Tanoim, from the world? In other words, your answer
is basically saying that two sources can easily represent one opinion and just two different circumstances. Rav Yosef says, but you're not acknowledging through that answer that in fact the issue of the sacks is a machlokas tanoim, so that the two sources, instead of aligning them or fusing them together into one Tanaic opinion, they simply represent two different Tanaic opinions. So the Gemara goes on. The Snan, we saw this in a Tanaic source. The Mishnah says, Ho'izim yoytzisros, goats are allowed to go out with their udders tied in pouches. Rabbi Yossi, Oser b'kulon chutz m'rochel sagunos. Rabbi Yossi forbids all different kinds of animals walking out with things that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi is very strict, including their udders tied with pouches. They cannot go out with that, except for the case of the rochelos, the sheep that are kavunos. And the Gemara will discuss that issue later on. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Izim yoytzes tzros liabesh avalo l'cholev. Rabbi Yehuda is a middle type shita and says that the goats can go out with their udders tied in these pouches if it's to dry them out from their lactation, but not to catch the milk that's dripping from them. So that as far as the sources we saw above and the goats, there's the source that says they can go out with these b'kishe b'dodehen, that would be in conformity to the Tanakama that says they can go out tsuros, and the source that says they cannot, that would parallel Rabbi Yossi, who is very restrictive. Rashi makes reference to Rabbi Meir, but that's the Rabbi Meir is the unnamed Tanakama that allows it. Continuing in the Gemara, v'iboy esema, a third approach, ha v'ha Rabbi Yehuda. The two sources we saw above are Shitas Rabbi Yehuda v'lo kashya, kan liabesh, kan l'cholev. Rabbi Yehuda, we just saw, indicates that if the pouches are tied in order to dry out the to stop the lactation, then it's allowed. And if it's to catch the milk, then it's considered a simple burden because they're there in order to catch the milk, and the animal is going to walk around with it with little sacks filled with milk on Shabbos. That's a masui. Rashi points out that liabesh mehadik shapir, it's firmly attached, firmly tied on. It's not a masui. It's for the animal's benefit because as long as it's lactating, so it's weaker. So we want to prevent that. So it's for the animal's actual physical benefit, and therefore it's not a masui. It's not that it's carrying around the sacks as a burden for the owner, let's say. We continue in the Gemara. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source, Omer Yehuda, Mais Abizim, Beis Antuchia, the goats of that place, of Beis Antuchia, show you Dodeim Gasim. They have very large udders. The Osulan Kisim Kidei Shelo Yisrutu Dodehen. And they made pouches that protected them from being scratched on the ground. Tonu Rabbanan. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a mivneh, a structural note, because we've introduced a house shape here, and a couple lines later in another Tanaic source, these are shnei maisim. These are two incidents. B'chol echad haGemara matziga shnei drochim listakia al kol maisa. Structurally, there is similarity between these two incidents that we've highlighted with the house shape, because after these two incidents, the Gemara will be presenting, in the first case, Rav Yosef and Abaye will be presenting two ways to look at the incident. And in the second house form, the two ways of looking at it will be within the source itself. We also have a topic heading on the side, the Nosei, and we've written, Maisib Odom, Shemesa Ishto, Venasa Loidodim, Lohonik, v'hinik es beno. This is a story involving a man whose wife died, leaving an infant needing nursing. And we'll see in the Gemara that the man was not a man of means, so he couldn't hire a wet nurse. And he miraculously developed breasts and nursed his child. The Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Maisa be'echad shemeisa ishtoi. An incident involving a man whose wife died. V'nicha ben linak, and she left a child needing to be nursed. V'lo hoyo lo schar meniko litein, and he didn't have the means, the financial means of paying the fee for a wet nurse. V'nase loy nes, a miracle happened. V'niftechu lo dodin kishnei dode isha, and his breasts opened, started lactating like a woman. V'hinik es beno, and he nursed his son. Omar Rav Yosef, the first observation, Bore kamo godol odom ze. Notice how great this person is. Shenase lo neis kozeh, that he was the beneficiary of such an unusual miracle. Omar le Abaye, adarabo. Abaye says, quite the contrary, kamo gerua odom ze, shenishtanu lo sidre bracious. How unfortunate this man is, in that the only way of saving him is that the change of nature, that nature had to change through divine intervention to benefit him. And Rashi adds, and he simply wasn't of sufficient merit to have money or some type of financial means come to his doorstep, which would not have been what we call shinui sidrei bracious. In other words, this man was a poor man. Could he not have received a job offer, let's say, that would have provided him with enough means of hiring the wet nurse? And that, even though we believe that everything is divine intervention, including the job you get, but there's a difference between changes in natural events in the course of nature and things that happen through the natural process. When we say natural process, make no mistake, it's all the hand of the Almighty. There's no difference. But called superficial observation of things, it's considered better when benefit comes through the course of natural events than changing the laws of nature. The Jewish take on things is that the Almighty really prefers, his preference, kivyochol, is not to change the laws of nature. He created the laws of nature, and he is very desirous of them them being maintained. Therefore, Abaye says something is wrong with this man, that he couldn't receive his benefit through the preferred method. Omar Rav Yehuda, Bo Rei Kama Koshim Zeso Shel Odom. Notice from this incident how difficult it is for a person to actually attain financial security, maintenance. Shenishtanu Olof Sidre Bracious. That it seems from this incident that it was easier, so to speak. It's hard to use the term easy and hard when talking about the Almighty, but it was easier, so to speak, for this person to receive his assistance through the changes of laws in nature and not through normal occupational or financial means. The message, though, for all of us is that one has to respect and take very seriously the fact that a person has an income, any income, and certainly if a person has financial comfort and security through having a job or some types of regular cash flow available to him. This is something that is a repeating theme throughout the Shas, and something that needs to be emphasized. And not to take anything of this nature for granted. Omar Rav Nachman, And Rav Nachman corroborates this and says, Teda de Misrachish Nisa velo Ivru Mizoni. Rav Nachman points out at the we can see this in the Rashi, explains below Ivru Mizoni on the first wide line under the Gemara, the Ein Nes Ze Rogil Shivru. Actually, we should read the Rashi just before this, to Marachshi Nisa Min Hashemayim Lekama Atzlos Lefoshes Adam. There are many times that miracles happen for saving people. People are saved miraculously. In other words, against all odds, people are saved. And we know this from even very, very recent Jewish history. Things like that happen. Rashi goes on, Velo Ivru Mizoni, V'ein Nes Ze Rogil Shivru Mizonis, Litzadikim Beveitsam, Shiyimtsu Chitim, Gedeilim Botzrosehim. And you don't find miracles involving financial salvation happening as an example Rashi provides where wheat starts to grow in the silos of the righteous. That you don't find happening. You'll find people saved miraculously, but receiving their income miraculously, that you don't find. The Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan. We have another incident. Maisa ba'adam echot shenosa isha gidemes. There's an incident involving a man who married a woman whose arm was amputated, was missing, was gidemes, meaning she had a stump instead of an arm. Velo ikir bo ad yoim moisa. And he didn't recognize this until the day she died. Omar Rav, bo rei. Actually, the Gersa here is Omar Rebbe. It's part, according to this reading, so it would be part of the Tanaic source, Rebbe being a Tana. He says, Bo ure kamat snua ishazu shalo ikir ba baila. How modest this woman was in so far as her husband didn't notice her missing arm. So this woman must have conducted herself in extraordinary modesty. Omar lo Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia says, if you want to admire someone's behavior, you're placing the emphasis on the wrong place. Zu darka bakach. It's the natural behavior of a woman to behave modestly. Elokamat sanua odom zeshul hikubishto. Imagine this man, how modest he was in his behavior in not exposing his wife. In other words, he conducted himself in extreme modesty and self-restraint. And as a result, he didn't recognize this physical defect. Zichorim yoytzin levuvin. The Gemara asks, "My Levuvin, what does that mean?" On the side, we have a Nosei Mivne heading, the topic heading with structural note. We feature a diamond. These are Deos B'my Levuvin. We'll see here a number of different opinions as to what Levuvin is. So, Omar Rav Huna, Tutri, animals. We're talking about these are rams, male sheep. Zechorim are males. There's Ayolim, rams. Tutri means tied together in twos so that they shouldn't run away. My mashma dahai levuvin lishna de kruvihu. Etymologically, where do we know that the word levuvin has to do something close? In other words, where you have these two animals tied close to one another, so the word levuvin would indicate something of closeness. So the answer, dichtiv libavtani achosi kala. In the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, we see the word libavtani, which is an expression meaning you drew me near you. Ula, Omar. Ula explains, what is levuvin? Or shekoshrin lohem keneged libom. It's a piece of leather that is tied opposite the hearts of these rams. Why? Kedei shelo yiplu aleim zeven, so that wolves don't pounce upon them as prey. Wolves, in their attack, it was their derech, it was their normal way of attacking animals at their hearts. So this would be a type of shield around on the animal's heart. We have a bracketed section, and on the in the margin, by the starred comment, we have an explanation of why this is in brackets. We note achrei sugrayim, after the brackets, gemara mevia oid pirush levuvin. You can see we have a diamond indicating another explanation of levuvin. In other words, we just read Ula's explanation and we understood what he said. Afterwards, a third explanation. The note continues, Besocham, within the brackets, Hagemora dona behanogosam shel ze'evim legabi hodi omar Ula. We're going to evaluate what Ula said regarding wolf behavior. Now, Ula, from what Ula said, the mashma midvarov shel ze'evim misnaplim rak al ayolim zechorim, or elim. From Ula's comment, it seems that wolves descend upon only males. Because Ula was explaining the Mishnah. The Mishnah mentioned Zechorim go out Levuvin, and Ula said, Levuvin is, we'll call them heart patches, heart shields. So that would indicate that the wolves would attack only males. That's hard to understand. So now let's look at the bracketed section. The Gemara asks, Ze'evim azechorim nafli and akevis lo nafli. Wolves pounce upon only males, that they need this protection, and they don't pounce upon females, upon sheep. So the Gemara answers, Mishum demaskei bereish edra. The rams, the male sheep, they walk at the head of the herd. So the Gemara asks, so what? Ze'evim bereish edra nafli b'sof edra lo nafli. What? Wolves choose to attack only the heads of herds or of flocks, and not the back ranks of flocks. Elo mishum deshmeini. So the better explanation is, the new suggestion is, that the rams, the reason they are the ones attacked, because they're larger, they're fatter, they're larger. Question: uvenekevas leko shmeini, and amongst female sheep there aren't fat ones. The su mi yadi bein hani lahani. And furthermore, do wolves pay attention or make any distinction between that which is fat and that which is not? When the wolf is hungry, it'll pounce upon whatever is nearby. Elo? So rather, what's the reason? Mishum de zakfi chutmayu umasku ki davu. The nature of rams is that as they're walking, they walk with their noses in the air and they're looking. They're glaring and looking in all directions, and this arouses the wolves. This taunts the wolves. Rashi says at the bottom line, kidavu mabitim, that's to glare, to look. Kan v'kan lefikoch miskanim b'hem kisrim shirotzim lochem b'hem. This creates a militaristic emotion in the wolves. Threatening them with a fight. So therefore, it's just the way of rams to walk that way that will cause the wolves to attack specifically them. Continuing in the Gemara, we have our third approach in what levuvin is. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Omar, or shekoshrin lohem tachas zachruson kedei shelo yalu al hanekevos. This is a piece of leather that's tied around the male organ, the male ram organ, so as to prevent them from copulating, from mating with females. Mimai, from where does Rav Nachman get this idea? Midiktoni Seifa, from the fact that the Mishnah goes on to say, V'orachelim yoitzis shechuzos. The females can go out shchuzas. My shchuzas. So what does that mean? She'ochsin alya shelahen lemala kidei shiyalu alein zechorim. That's a case of tying the female sheep's tails upwards so as to expose their organs of reproduction to encourage the males to mate with them. Reisha kidei shiyalu alekevos. Therefore, the reisha of levuvin is a prevention of the mating. Seifa kedei shalalein zechorim, and the seifa describes motivation for mating the nekevos obviously are the females, and the seifa speaks about the female sheep's tails being tied up so that the males mate with them. My mashma dai shchuzos lishna de geluyahu. From where does the Gemara know? From where do we know that shchuzos is an expression of exposure? We mentioned that the female tail was tied upwards so as to expose their organs of reproduction. So from where do we know that it's an expression of exposure? The pasuk says, "Vinei isha lekrosoi shis zoyna nitzuras lev." These words, shis zoyna nitzuras lev, Rashi points out are words that lead to an abbreviation of shichuzos. Shichuzos is called a notary cone. It's taking several words together and abbreviating them into one expression. Furthermore, Rashi at the top of Nun Dalam Aleph, which we just read, Shis is Beis HaBoishes. That's a reference to the area of reproduction. So that this pasuk is describing the female who is posing herself in an exposed fashion. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.